The WBFO Brief Podcast is made possible by Roswell Park Comprehensive Cancer Center. Access to the newest treatments and most sophisticated testing is so important. It matters where you receive your cancer care. Spend one day with Roswell Park. Visit roswellpark.org.
Today's WBFO Brief was recorded at around 8:30 in the morning. This is WBFO News.
State Comptroller Tom DiNapoli says the state needs to, quote, take stronger action if it's going to reach its clean energy goals. New York State has a goal of 70% renewably sourced electricity by 2030 and net zero emissions by 2040. But an audit says the goals may be in jeopardy because of inadequate planning. Among the specifics, the report found the Public Service Commission used outdated data in developing plans and did not reasonably estimate the cost of the transition to renewable energy. The business advocacy group Upstate United responded with a statement calling for the state to, quote, pause the implementation of the Climate Leadership and Community Protection Act. A ribbon-cutting ceremony this afternoon will unveil a new facility that looks to train residents of Buffalo West Sides for careers in clean energy and sustainability. Several local officials are expected to be on hand for today's open house of the Sustainability Workforce Training Center. According to Push Buffalo, the 2,500-square-foot facility looks to expand career options for Black, Indigenous, and people of color in the emerging sustainability field. The project was funded by JPMorgan Chase and Empire State Development. And a federal grant will help enhance safety measures in the city of Lackawanna Fire Department. According to Congressman Nick Langworthy, FEMA has issued the $35,000 grant to, quote, address the evolving needs of first responders, from advanced equipment acquisition and updating aging vehicles to safety improvement and training programs. The number of gun-related arrests continues to mount in the city of Buffalo. Department officials say they made 13 arrests during the week of July 8th through July 14th on gun-related charges. One case saw five people, all 21 years of age or younger, arrested on Kensington Avenue, allegedly in possession of a loaded sawed-off rifle. One of the accused, 20-year-old Ja'Kai Kaysen of Buffalo, was remanded without bail. Meanwhile, detectives are looking into two separate incidents that left three people injured. Late Tuesday night, a 25-year-old man was struck by gunfire inside a Smith Street residence. On Wednesday afternoon around 12:30, police report two juvenile males were stabbed during a fight on Main Street near Mohawk. Both were taken to Oshai Children's Hospital. One of the victims was listed in critical but stable condition. And a former investment broker from Clarence will spend 1 year in jail after pleading guilty to stealing over $153,000 from two clients. According to the Erie County District Attorney's Office, 52-year-old Damian Baird deposited the client's checks into his personal account. Baird pleaded guilty to four counts of grand larceny in the third degree and agreed to pay full restitution as part of his plea deal. To date, none of the money has been paid back. Baird is not a citizen of the United States and is expected to be deported to the United Kingdom upon completion of his sentence.
This WBFO Brief podcast is made possible by Canisius University, where high-flying grifts find a top-flight education. For the last 8 years, Canisius has been recognized on U.S. News' list of best colleges and universities. Learn more at canisius.edu.
Monday, the Buffalo Bills announced the full-time hiring of Chris Brown as the team's official radio play-by-play voice. Following health complications with former radio voice and Hall of Fame broadcaster John Murphy, Chris Brown served as the interim broadcaster for a handful of games in 2022 and then all of the 2023 season. WBFO's Jack Cruiser sat down with Chris Brown to talk about the discussion of removing that interim tag.
How did you deal with the season coming to an end and the uncertainty of a job search?
Yeah, I mean, I knew that was inevitable. So what I tried to do was just focus on doing the best job I could while I was doing the job. And so that was my focus. And I tried to keep reminding myself not to worry about things I can't control. I'm not the decision maker in what the outcome of that's going to be. So try not to waste time worrying about it. That's easier said than done, but that was the constant thing I was trying to roll through my head.
With Chris Brown, voice of the Buffalo Bills, what in your mind makes an elite play-by-play broadcaster?
Well, if we're talking strictly on the radio side, it is describing the scene. You have to paint the picture, quite literally, with your words and do it in an effective fashion so that you can provide the listener with everything they cannot see. To me, that's number one. And then to try to do it in a concise manner, so much so that there's enough room for your color commentator to step in and provide depth to what is going on the field and explaining why it's happening or how it's happening. So you have to be super descriptive and you have to do it in a very finite period of time to leave room for your broadcast partner.
A lot of fans see you as, you know, the mouthpiece of the team, mm-hmm. and, you know, an employee of the Pegulas and of the Bills and also of Odyssey. How do you balance being a Bills fan first and also being fair and critical of the team while working for them?
Yeah, I mean, you try your best to be objective. I'm not going to lie. I'm on the team side of the media fence, and that requires a certain line to walk. I don't think there's any secret about that, and I don't think I'm fooling anybody. But at the same time, I come from that other side of media where you did look at things with a critical eye. And I think having worked for the team for 18 years in a journalistic capacity, it's allowed me to know the ways in which I can be critical without slamming somebody or insulting somebody. You know, I'm not going to be, you know, that columnist that just slices and dices. You know, that's not who I am anyway. I don't think I would have done that even if I stayed on the real media side of things. But I usually lean on the statistics and the players or coaches themselves. I might, in an interview setting or just in a conversation, ask a difficult question about something, but I'll use their answer. What's their description of what happened? Or with statistics, I don't have to say that, you know, a player had a horrible game if the statistics speak to that. Everybody knows that a 4-interception game is a lousy game, even if all the interceptions aren't on the quarterback necessarily. But I'll lean on that rather than saying this quarterback just didn't have it today and flat out stunk. I'm not going to say that. I would rather lean on the statistics because the guy already feels horrible about his performance. There's no need for me to pile on. That's just not how I operate.
With the third voice of the Buffalo Bills, Chris Brown, in the team's history, going back, Van Miller, John Murphy, and Chris Brown, hearing your name in that conversation and knowing that that is to be till the end of time, that your name is officially with those two, what does that do for you mentally and the pressure that comes with following in the footsteps of legends? How does that get actualized in day-to-day life?
It's humbling for sure. It's an honor to be mentioned alongside those two names, definitely. And I was fortunate enough to have worked with both men, Van towards the end of his career, because my first year on the Bills radio network was his last year calling games back in 2003. And I was fortunate enough when I was calling University at Buffalo football games, I would be able to sit down with Van on Sundays in the early morning hours before a 1 o'clock game at the stadium, because he would go to the UB football games and listen on his handheld transistor radio with an earpiece in his ear. And as a young broadcaster, I'm sitting there thinking, Van Miller is listening to me. Like, this is wild. Mm-hmm. And the first time he came up to me on a Sunday morning in the press box before a Bills game was the day after a UB game. And he's complimenting me up and down and telling me what a great job I did. And he's always got a joke or two. He would always have a joke or two up his sleeve. He was a super funny guy. And he once told me, he said, "Well, Brownie, you make that team sound even better than they are." Because they had just jumped to Division I from 1AA, and they were not very good, as you might expect, trying to build the roster up. And so I kind of laughed with him, but he couldn't be more complimentary. And the first time he did that, I was like, is this guy just blowing smoke up my rear end? Like, what's... But subsequent conversations after that, I could tell he really kind of had an affinity for my broadcasting style. And then the tips and little things started coming from him too in those conversations. And I cherish and value those conversations some 20 some odd years ago, because they were instrumental in helping me kind of fine tune some of the things that I did. And then John Murphy, I worked and was a colleague of his for 20 years, and he gave me opportunities in the business as well. When he was at Channel 7, he invited me to be a part of their weekly Bills show that they had on their air there at WKBW. So I was appreciative of that. And, you know, even through this process where he's got more on his plate than anybody would want in trying to deal with his own personal health, he was still giving me little words of advice here and there while I was filling in for him. So I think it's easier for me because I know both men. I'm familiar with their work and what they did. And I know that both of them, if they were here, would be saying, just be you. Don't try to be anybody else.
That is Chris Brown, the play-by-play voice of the Buffalo Bills, in conversation with WBFO's Jack Cruiser this morning. And they have a lot more, actually. Conversation available. You can listen to it at WBFO.org. And how come nobody ever remembers Al Meltzer as the voice of the Buffalo Bills from, I think, 1972 to 1977?
The second annual Casting Buffalo Actors Expo is coming up on Saturday, August 3rd at the Atrium at Rich's. Billed as a one-stop shop for local actors and aspiring talent of all ages, the event is produced by Casting Buffalo and its three partners, Peter Johnson, Kyle Mecca, and Harry Lipsitz. The trio became acquainted through the local film industry and bonded during the production of Marshall when it was filmed in Buffalo. They officially joined forces in 2020, and before we discuss the Actors Expo, they provided some background into how the casting process works. Harry Lipsitz.
Casting is a whole process, right? And there's different aspects to the process. Depending on the project, you may work very closely with a director. You may not work that closely with a director. You know, it's kind of like it's a lot of variables.
Okay.
But in the world of casting, you have principal casting, which is kind of like the top echelon. You know, that's your leads, if you will, right? And that usually is handled by a pretty reputable casting agent or casting director out of a larger city, usually like New York or LA. Mm-hmm. This is on the big films.
Yeah,
right?
Gotcha. Sure. Appreciate
then
the background.
Then you'd have what would be known as sort of day player casting, which is something that we handle quite frequently. And that's usually smaller bit parts.
Okay.
I think maybe, you know, six lines or less, maybe.
All right.
And that, is something you generally work pretty closely with the director for casting those, because they're still, you know,
they've got lines. They're going to have a major part of the
film.
And
then sort of the third tier, if you will, is sort of what Kyle had already mentioned, which is extras, which is a little, I would say, misleading, because it's more than just extras, if you will. It also encompasses stand-ins, doubles. Am I missing anything there? It's more than just the extras.
Right, just go get a bunch of people off the street and come on in. Right?
But let me add as well. Please. I mean, to that, Harry, you know, the first thing is, in casting, I think that there's a misconception. You know, Jay, as you mentioned, as a director, the director would want to make all those decisions. As casting agents here and casting directors, we rarely ever make the final say, right? So everything has to be approved by the director or by the producers that have that final say.
Or an agency for a commercial.
Absolutely, right. Agents or something of that sort. So that's the first part. And then I think the second thing that Harry was even talking about is when we talk about extras, I just want to take a moment to kind of tell you how vital they are to a film, right? People think that, I'm just background in this. Most films can't be made without background actors, right? So they're extremely important to a production. And that's not something to be even, you know, to be taken lightly. That's just as important as a lot of other jobs that are on set.
Yeah, they're a huge part of the world of the film.
Sure.
Right?
Yeah, it's a part of the production design of the film. Mm-hmm. So, like, even when we've done Marshall, you know, we had the ability to work with Ruth Carter, who is an Academy Award-winning costume designer. Mm-hmm. And working with her, we really learned the vitality of background and using extras to help build a world out. Yeah. Because they were in, you know, 1920s clothing, and they had to fit that world. And just similar to what we just did with the Panic, you know, that is painting a picture of the film. And if you, and it's very vital to it, and you have to make sure you find the right people that fit the look and the feel of that generation. And it's really essential to painting the overall picture of that film.
The Casting Buffalo Actors Expo features an array of workshops and discussions on aspects of the film industry: animation, stunts, production design, information on the Screen Actors Guild, the Buffalo 48-Hour Film Project, just to name a few. There's more at castingbuffalo.com.
How did last year's event go? What did we learn from last year?
Oh, last year's was extremely well attended. We had over 500 attendees,
wow,
you know, there. I think one of the main things that we saw was that there's a need for this. There was
not just an interest. There's a need.
No, there was definitely a need. Okay. Not only that, there was several new actors that was added to our database and got jobs right away.
Hmm.
We just had another actor that submitted for on our social media account, kind of tells an encounter about how he came to the Actors Expo. He met me. He met Kyle, got added to our database and began working right away. You know, so a part of our job as well is searching new faces, new talent, you know, discovering new people. That's also a part of this mission as well.
Yeah, I mean, there's we have actors and talent here of all sorts of levels,
right,
varying levels. I think, as Peter will tell you as an actor himself, your job learning, it is never over. It never ends, right? And it's not just the learning. It's the networking. It's the making yourself visible, right? In the market like Buffalo, which is small, medium-sized market, it's not a huge city like L.A., Chicago, Atlanta, New York, you need to stand out more than anybody else. That's a goal you have to have as an actor. You
okay
know what I mean? You have to be noticed and recognized. And the way to stay relevant and do that is to network. It's to attend events where you'll meet directors, producers, you know, other actors in this business. It's one of the most integral aspects to being an actor is the network.
Okay. All right.
And to modern times now, it's also branding yourself, right? So, with the world of influencers, it's also putting out, like, this is who I am, this is my abilities, and this is what I can deliver for you.
I think I heard somebody say there's fun. Is it a fun day? Is it a fun day?
Oh, yeah. You kidding
yeah
me? Like, being in the world of creatives and actors and people who have passion behind this,
mm-hmm,
it's very, very aesthetic,
mm-hmm,
in there. It is, you feel the energy as soon as you walk through that building.
And make sure you guys also follow us on social media, you know, on Facebook, Casting Buffalo, on Instagram, Casting Buffalo as well.
And is there going to be a third expo? Can we talk about that yet?
Every year.
Okay. Hey, look, this year we have the, you know, amazing opportunity to have Stephen McKinley Henderson here, you know, who is an incredible actor. And then we also have a former local actor here, Daniel Croy, mm-hmm, coming back into town, who's on Tyler Perry's The Oval, and both of them are going to be speaking. So that's just this year. Hmm. We can't wait to who we're able to bring to you guys next year.
You're not going to tell me now, are you?
No, why would we do
no
that?
Because I want to know. All right, very good. Kyle Mecca, Harry Lipsitz, and Peter Johnson, thanks very much for joining us.
Thank you, Jay.
Thank you.
Don't forget to like or subscribe so you can help others find this podcast. And if you love it, leave a review too. The WBFO Brief Podcast and the award-winning journalism of WBFO's news team are made possible by our members. Thank you for listening.